If you brought a copy of God's Word, take it and turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Just two more sermons in the Gospel of John chapter 17. Man, it's kind of sad. I have enjoyed camping out in this chapter and had no idea that it would really take us this long. But anyway, John 17. John 17. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at verses 15 through 19, okay? Verses 15 through 19. Would you please honor God by standing as we read His love letter to us? Remember that. It is His love letter. And we're going to find out later on that He wrote it in our hearts, man. Listen to what it says. John 17, beginning in verse 15. Now remember, they're listening to Him pray. It's the high priestly prayer. They're listening to Him. And He says this, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by thy truth, for your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. So the same way Jesus was sent, we are sent. He was the sent one, we are the sent ones. Did you get that? He is the sent one, we are the sent ones. All right, verse 19. And for their sakes, listen to that. Man, everything He did was for us. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Heavenly Father, oh, these are some incredible, powerful words. And I pray, God, today that we would take our time as we walk through them. Spirit, speak to us. Apply it to our lives so that, God, we can then in return, go out and live it. Oh, I'm begging you, God, and I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you so convict us that we would not be reservoirs of truth, but rivers of life that are just spreading it everywhere we go. Jesus, this world needs hope, and you are the hope. May your sent ones do what we were called to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Brief recap. I don't know if I've ever done this. So last week we covered one point. Remember what it was? Everything we need, Jesus provides. Everything we need, Jesus provides. Well, what did He provide? Remember, He gave us His joy. That's what He told us in verse 13. He gives us His joy. So we don't just have joy, joy, joy. We've got His joy, His joy, His joy. So He gives us His joy. Then we have His word. He says, the word that you have given me, I have given them. So everything we need to live the life that Jesus has called us to live, He tells us in 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, He's equipped us with everything. Colossians 2, 10, we're complete in Him. And now here He says, all right, now guys, I didn't save you just to take you out of the world right away. I'm going to leave you there, but if I leave you there, I'm going to give you everything you need to survive. I give you my joy. I give you my word. And now we're going to move in to number three. What does He give us? Because it's still on point number one. I'm telling you, as I begin to study this passage, everything we need, Jesus provides. So number three, we have His power. We have His power. Now, remember, the Word of God is powerful because God wrote it. It's alive. I love the Jesus Storybook Bible. I pray, if you don't have one to go through your kids, go through it with your kids, get it. Deuce is reading through the Jesus Storybook Bible, and he's reading through it every single night. And so we're talking about it, and the other day I made the statement. I said, hey, bud. I said, he was saying something about the Bible, and I said, well, man, I said, because the Bible is alive. I said, the Word of God is alive, and he's like, what do you mean it's alive? Like, I mean, it talks to you? And I said, well, yeah, it does. You know, and so, but to hear from a kid's perspective, but listen, the Word is alive. We have His Word, but we also have His power, and His power and His Word work hand in hand. Because we're going to see, listen to me, dear friends. Oh, this is good. This is like the electric socket, and I have to plug myself into this thing to get power. Do y'all understand? This is my food. If I don't eat upon it, I'm going to be weak. On Sundays, I don't eat before I preach because I just can't. And listen, by the time I'm done, I'm spent. And can I tell you this? I need food. Well, what's incredible to me is how many believers you'll come in here today and you'll think you can get full upon what we're going to say in 30-ish minutes in here this morning, and you're going to leave here and never open this word again. That's why you're getting defeated, because you have no power. You're not plugging into his word. We've got his power. In verse 15, listen to what he says again. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Now, here's what I wrote. After I read that verse, here's what I wrote down. In my dreams. In other words, the context is almost like, okay, wait a minute. Jesus is just wanting us to know that the moment he saved me, he could have just taken me out of the world right there. He should have said, you know what? No, he's going to get saved. I don't want to leave him down here because the devil is still alive and present on this earth. I'm going to remove him from the... But he says, no, I'm not going to remove you. I'm going to keep you on this earth, but I'm going to keep you from the evil ones. You see, when we're saved, it doesn't mean that we will be snatched away. It doesn't mean that we will be transported to heaven right away. It doesn't mean that we're not going to endure trials, endure temptations. What it means is that every day of our life, please don't miss this, every day of our life, we're going to go to battle with the world, with the flesh, and with the devil. Every single day. But I want to give you some hope. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. There you go. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. All right, so wait a minute. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. So we're going to be in the world, but we're not of the world, because we're in Christ. Remember, my favorite passage is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which says, I'm hidden in Christ. I'm hidden in Christ. All right? So in other words, when the world looks at me, they shouldn't be able to see me. They should be able to see Jesus. They can't see me. Somebody get that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway. And so he says, you're in the world. And he says, but you're going to have my peace. And in this world you have tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer. The word cheer there means hilarious. In other words, it means you ought to be able to be hilariously joyful. Hilariously cheerful. Why? But why? Because I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Do you understand that the reason we can overcome is because he overcame? He overcame so we could overcome. So in verse 15, he knew that the evil one was going to give us trouble. He knew that the evil one, according to 1 Peter 5:8, was going to be like a roaring lion, not a roaring lion. But like one, everything Jesus is, Satan wants to imitate it. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan wants to imitate that and try to scare us as a lion. And there's nobody in this world more powerful than Satan other than Jesus. So please don't miss that. Some of you say, oh, I can put the devil in his place. You go, try it, dear friends. I hope you don't try it. Now, my point is this, guys. That's why we rest and surrender in Jesus. You rest in Jesus. You surrender to Jesus. Let him, he already beat him. He's already a defeated foe. And so he wrote this in John 10:10a. He says, the thief comes not to kill, not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. So I've got a question, Jesus. I just want to ask Jesus a question. So Jesus, when you saved me on August 5th, 1997, if you knew that I was going to have trouble, if you knew that the devil was going to try to attack me, he was going to attack me every day, if you knew that I was going to have these temptations, if you knew that I was going to have that, and you could have taken me out, I mean, August 5th, 97, 141, Jesus, I need you, boom, he comes into my life, why didn't he just take me right on? Why did he not take me on? So the question is this: why did he leave me here? Are you ready? Why did he leave me here? One reason. Only one answer. to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that we know. Listen, that is the answer. And so, listen, how many people did you do that to this week? There's one job description. That's it. You've been bought. You have no say-so. And so are you just going to look at God and say, God, I don't care what my job description is. Try that at your work. Why don't you go in Monday and say, I don't care what my job description is. I want to do this. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I want to do what I want to do. Hey, you're going to look for a job. But yet we have the audacity, the created has the audacity to tell the creator what he should do. We've been left here to do a job. So in verse 18, Jesus said, he said, as you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. Jesus came to make God known, and we have the same exact mission. Now in verse 17, listen to what it says again. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is to be set apart. It's to be set apart for a special and specific use. So here's what I have tried to make sanctification into our vernacular and try to make it very simple. Can I tell you what sanctification is? It's being Jesus with skin on. That's sanctification. That's sanctification. You're set apart. He takes you. He sets you apart. Jesus was sanctified for a special task. His sanctification was for our redemption. Our sanctification was for to tell others about him. And so I said this in my notes. There is no such thing as salvation with no sanctification. In other words, here's what people say. Well, you know what? I'm saved, but I'm not real dedicated to God. Then you're not saved. There is no salvation apart from sanctification. Let's just get honest in here this morning. There is no salvation apart from sanctification. Being set apart and being used for God according to God's incredible plan. Sanctification means to be set apart for a specific purpose. To become more like Christ. That's what it is. And you do that by his word. That's why he says in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Guys, listen, you'll hear me say this a bunch. You will not become what God intends for you to become with your Bible like this. You've got to get into your Bible. You've got to let the Bible get into you. And you've got to grow. Sanctification, it means to be Jesus with skin on. So he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He was on mission. He was on mission. The church, the individual, we need to be on mission. Listen to what Romans 10:13-15 says. Listen to this. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without... Now what it literally translates there is without one who preaches. So a lot of people, what they'll say is, well, it says without a preacher. So, pastor, it's your job. No, it means without one who preaches. In other words, one who shares the gospel. So you're not off the hook. Every one of us is supposed to be sharing the gospel. Because he was sent, we are sent. That's right where we are in the Bible. So he says this, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Unless they are sent. So let me talk about that word sent for a moment. Sent or send is used in the Gospel of John 6 times in John 17, 6 times. In the Gospel of John, sent or send is used over 46 times. The first time that the word sin or sent is used is John 3:17. Listen to what it says. John 3:17, the first time, he says this. In this manner, he says this. He says, for God did not send, there it goes, his son into the world to condemn the world. Now remember, the word sent there It's the same word that means sent on purpose, sent for a reason. So he didn't just send Jesus. Hey, it says, for the Son of Man was not sent into the world to condemn the world. Do you know why he was not sent here to condemn the world? It was condemned already. A lot of people think, man, Jesus came to just judge us and he came to just condemn the world. No, he didn't come to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. So what did he come for? He says, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus was sent. The last time it was sent, it was used as John 20:21 when Jesus said, and Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And just listen to me, just real quick. Because he says this, as the Father sent me, in other words, in the exact same way. Can I ask you this? Come on, let's just get on. When God sent Jesus, did he provide him everything he would need? Do you remember when Jesus was in the desert and he was fasting and he was alone and the devil came to tempt him? If you'll go on and read it, do you know what it says? That God sent angels to minister to him. In the garden, God sent angels to minister to him. You got to understand, Jesus said, I do nothing apart from the Father. Everything that Jesus needed in this world, God the Father provided. Dear friends, as the Father sent me, in the exact same way, I send them. Hey, I want to make a statement, and it's going to make some of you uncomfortable, but I'm sorry. But it is fair. If you're not a sent one, you're not a saved one. But I'm timid. He said, I'll keep you from the evil one. Nobody in the world can beat the devil except Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to keep you from him. Oh, but I don't know what I'll say. He's giving you his word. Oh, but I'm just shy. Rest in his joy. He's giving you his joy. He's giving you his presence. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, church. We need to wake up to our mission. We need to wake up to our mission. I'm telling you, it's easy to get up here and say, oh, praise God. Thank you, God, at Christmas. You sent the Jesus. Oh, we'll look at a manger and we'll say, oh, that little baby was God in the flesh. Thank you, God. At Easter, we're going to celebrate the tomb over here. We're going to have a ginormous cross on this side. And we're going to be all just bragging on Jesus the whole time. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. But now, God, why we're bragging on you now, God, but excuse my disobedience, okay? Because thank you, Jesus, that you were obedient all the way to the cross. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you were. But now, I'm not going to be obedient. Everybody look at me. Look at it. Drop your pens, everything. Look right at me. I love you. I do. Listen to me. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you this. My job, if you want to say, my calling is to lead you and to feed you. And what I'm trying to do is feed you here, but then also to lead you by example as well. I want you to hold me accountable as well. We can get so distracted and so caught up in stuff that we will not be sent ones. And we've got to get on the mission. He says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Evidently, you had ugly feet if you're not a sent one. You got beautiful feet if you are. To be sanctified is to be consecrated. It means to be set aside for a special task. What is that special task? To get the word out. What's the word? Jesus saves. I was talking to Deuce last night, and I was telling him about where we were going to be going in Southeast Asia. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, we're going to be adopting these mountain people. And we're going to come in and listen to me. We're going to treat them the same way we treated Asher. When my family adopted Asher, the entire family got on board, son. It was incredible. He's ours for eternity because hopefully and prayerfully we're praying hard that God will save that little boy and we're going to be with him for eternity. The same way we're going to do these mountain people. They're going to be our people. And think about one day we're going to stand before Jesus one day and there's going to be somebody from one of those mountain people, three different groups who right now are unreached and unengaged. They're hard to be reached. Nobody has ever shared the gospel with them. But one day you're going to be up there. Maybe you're never going to make the trip over to Southeast Asia, but you're going to be given. You're going to be given to the Global Impact Fund. You're going to be giving to Lottie Moon, and you're going to be given all that. And listen, somebody's going to come up to you and they're going to say, hey, I just want to tell you, I'm a part of that tribe. And thank you that you kept sending your money or you came and empowered someone and strengthened someone that they shared the gospel with me and I got saved. Oh, it's all together. And you say, you really think that's going to happen? In my sanctified imagination, I do. If you want to be a fuddy-dud and say, oh, I don't think that's going to happen, you have the right to be that. But I'm not. So Deuce is asking me, he's saying, Daddy, is it dangerous? Daddy, what's going to happen? And I told him, I said, buddy, it may be. But you know what? I have a job to get the word out. I have a job to get the word out, and I'll share more about that in a minute. So the power, listen to this, the word imparts power for holy living. The word imparts power for holy living. So to sanctify speaks of practical holy living for the glory of God. I was thinking the other day, I was talking to Lenora and just thinking, it's dangerous when I practice my sermons on her. But anyway. And so I was thinking, and I got thinking, in Southern Baptist churches, PK, on average, including ours, on average, anywhere from 45 to 65% of the membership roll will never darken the doors of the church. On average. It's a living room moment. There's family in here, right? So here's what I got to thinking. I wonder, if that is true, and even if several of the ones who actually come here are still not saved, I just wonder, how many times I've tried to feed goats sheep food? Sheep hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. You see, sheep are saved. They follow. Goats are lost. They butt. They're stubborn. And I just wonder how many times I've stood up here and I've tried to get goats to eat sheep food when goats don't like sheep food. Sheep like sheep food. I mean, it blows my mind. Listen, it blows my mind to think that sometimes you have to stand up here and it's almost like you're begging sheep to obey God. I mean, you sit here sometimes and you go, what's it going to take to get us off of our seats and in the streets and share the gospel? What's it going to take for us to be burdened over those who are going to spend eternity in a Christless hell? What's it going to take? But Pastor, wait a minute. Some of those people really do love Jesus. I hadn't been here in 10 years. Are you married, Pastor? Yeah. I love my wife, son. I hadn't lived with her in 10 years, but I love her. Man, I love her. Man, I love her. Oh. You would look at me and you would say, no. So I know some of you are thinking this right now. So wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you think coming to church makes you a Christian? No. But I am going to say this. I'm going to say this. Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, when you gather together as a body of Christ, You gather together as a body of Christ. You are to do it. Why do you do it? To stir up love and to stir up good works. You know, can I just say, I'm going to go on record. Maybe you've never heard a pastor say this. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You better bring your Bibles if you're going to back me up, if you're going to argue with me on this, though. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but to be a Christian, you got to go to church. And can I say this, and I mean this with all my heart, it breaks my heart when people leave Ridgecrest or any church that I've pastored. But let me say this, if being a member of Ridgecrest Baptist Church hinders your walk with God, there are other churches that you can go to. There are other churches, that gospel preaching churches. Man, I wouldn't be a part of a church if I can't grow and to be all I can be for Jesus Christ. And so as you grow in your faith through the Word, through sanctification through the Word, you are experiencing more and more and more the progressive work of salvation called sanctification. So the more, oh, this is good. The more you grow in Jesus through the Word, so the more I grow in Jesus, remember this is all about His power in His Word. The more I grow in Jesus in the Word, listen to this, I will love sin less, and I will love Jesus more. I mean, the more sanctified I get, I'm going to love Jesus more and sin less. And I'll be a blessing to others. So Peter's put it this way in 1 Peter 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire or crave the pure milk of the Word. Crave it. Man, do you crave it? Do you want it? I mean, do you make an appointment with it and get into it? And he says that you may grow thereby. In verses 14 and 16, Jesus prays the same words. Listen to this, verse 14. He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. What is he saying there? Why the repetition? Why would Jesus repeat himself in his prayer? Remember, this is a prayer. They're listening to him. He prayed that twice. Here's what I wrote down. As he's praying to the Father, He is reminding His disciples, and He is reminding you, and He is reminding me. Listen to this statement, that we can trust that we will be treated by God the Father the exact same way that God the Son was treated. By God. Oh, He took care of it. He gave Him everything He needed. That's why my point is this. Everything we need, Jesus provides. 1 John 5:18 and 19, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. And what that means is, it doesn't mean you're going to stop sinning. It means that you won't have habitual sin. You won't practice in that lifestyle. You won't be a practicing this or practicing that. That is anything contrary to God's Word. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word. And the wicked one does not touch him. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to keep you from the wicked one. I'm going to keep him from the evil one. We know that we are of God. Oh, that ought to be our declaration this morning. We know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Hey, I want y'all to listen to me. This world is a place of danger. It can be a place of danger, but listen to me. It can be a place of danger, but it's also our place of duty. Everybody in this room is probably familiar with what happened to our Egyptian brothers and sisters, those Christians who were beheaded. Listen, because they did not deny Jesus. They were given the opportunity, and the ISIS terrorist marched 21 of them and martyred them. And can I tell you what they said about them? They killed them. They martyred them because they said they were people of the cross. Would to God that be able to be said about me on my tombstone? That we are people of the cross. I posted something on social media this week. I don't know how many of you watched it, but I hope you did. It was the brother of two of the slain men who were killed. And he's being interviewed on a radio station in Egypt. Listen to me. On that radio station, the guy asked him, he said, are you sad? And they said, there's no panic or fear or sorrow in our camp. There's nothing but rejoicing. And he said this, he said, because the ISIS terrorists, whenever they were presenting them, they were actually letting people know who they are and uplifting Jesus and didn't even realize it. And he said, we praise God. Listen, it reminded me of Peter and John when they got beaten and they went back and they said, we want to just praise God that we were found worthy to be able to be beaten in his name. They said, we're not sad. We're rejoicing in the fact that now our brothers are with Jesus right now. They are with Jesus. And through their death, the blood, listen, the seed of the martyrs is the blood. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. They said, through their death, the gospel will be proclaimed. You know what we would do? Listen, when the Apostle Paul went places and preached, there were riots. When we go places, there's protest and we hold conferences. You let something like that happen. And listen, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be angry at the fact that they're killing our brothers and sisters. And praise God that there is justice and it will be taken. But at the same time, listen to me, at the same time, I see Miss Kathy Hinton sitting out here. I love you, Miss Kathy. Mr. Lewis, we had his funeral in here Friday. And Mr. Lewis made this statement. Mr. Lewis said, if taking me out of the way would bring somebody to Jesus, I'm willing to be taken out of the way. Everybody look at me right now. Are you willing to say that? Can I tell you what somebody said the other day, and I prayed about it. I've never thought about it this way. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read that stuff. And if you're not careful, you're going to read it on certain news sites. And you'll begin to trust more about news sites than you will about the Word of God that says, listen to me, you will face tribulation and persecution. If you stand up for Jesus, they're going to hate you. Somebody tweeted out and they said this, I pray to God that there was an ISIS Saul that was holding the cloaks of those that cut the heads off of those men. And God transforms him. Listen, transforms him with the gospel, and he turns the Muslim world upside down for the glory of God. Have you ever thought about to pray that? But no, if we're not careful, dear friends, if we're not careful, we'll fall into the sway of, we just want justice, justice, justice. They will have their justice, and we shouldn't rejoice in that. But what we should do is we should say, God, this is not my life. Listen to me. This is what I was telling Deuce. Deuce, this is not your daddy's life, though, bud. If daddy does go somewhere and I get thrown in jail or if I get killed, if I get martyred, you're going to see me again. Listen to me. You've got to stop letting fear keep you in your safe comfort zone. It doesn't matter if it's at your work, at your home, at your school. Step out because Jesus is worth giving your everything to. He's worth it. Jesus is worth it. And if you don't think that, you've never been born again from above. He's worth it, son. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. Lastly, 43 seconds. In Jesus, we have everything we need. We've got His joy. We've got His Word. We've got His power. And we've got His plan. We've got His plan. What is His plan, Pastor? Verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now, I want you to listen to this. He says, Jesus is saying this. On earth, listen, this is a very deep theological truth I'm about to give you. The Lord Jesus Christ lived on earth to represent the Father. So we now live on earth to represent Christ. Jesus represented the Father. We now represent Jesus. Hey, His mission is to be our mission. His mission is to be our mission. We are now ready to be sent. We are now ready to be sent. I've got a great evangelist friend, and he's going to be here with us the second Sunday in September. You're going to love this guy. You're going to love this guy. And the other day, somebody asked him a question, why he wouldn't come to their state and preach, and he said, have Bible, we'll travel. Can I just say this? We have everything we need to travel. He said, what do you mean? Hey, we have His joy. We have His Word. We have His power. We have His plan. We have His presence. Hey, we've got His church. We've got each other. We've got each other. Look at this big family. My, come on, man. We got a big honking family. Why? No, we're in it together. He was the sent ones. We are the sent ones. Let me read it. John 3:14. Listen to this. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, the exact same way. So Numbers 21, they'd all been bitten. God told Moses, get a serpent, put it on a pole, lift it up. And the people who have been bitten, people who have been sinned, the moment they look, they live. The moment they look, they live. Jesus said the same way is with me. I'm going to be on a pole. I'm going to be on a cross. And if people will look to me, they will live. Look and live the exact same way. Then he says this in Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism in death, into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, hey, the exact same way. The exact same way. In other words, watch. Somebody looks at you and they say, man, you're different. What happened to you? I died. What do you mean? No, you don't understand. Spiritually, I identified with the death. Listen, the moment I got saved, it's as if I died over 2,000 years ago with Jesus. It's as if I went into that tomb, that borrowed tomb. I mean, what's the use for Jesus to go buy a tomb? He only needed it 3 days. Amen? So watch, I'm in that tomb the exact same way. But what happened on that third day? It says, so even so, we should walk in newness of life. He got up from the dead. Listen, that's why we, no change, no Jesus. I'm telling you, can't be saved and not be changed. Verse 19, he says, and for their sakes, Rich, he died for you. 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 Listen, we hear it so often we forget about it. He died for you. He died for you. Jesus died for you. For their sakes, he said, I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to set myself apart. I'm going to go through the beating, the scourging, the separation from my Father, the crucifixion. I'm going to die for you. For their sakes, for your sakes, I died for you. Then he says, now I'm going to sanctify them for me. Jesus was sanctified for you, set aside to die for you. Now he says, now I want to use you for me. Here's the invitation. Go ahead and come on up. Here's the invitation. The invitation is this. Who are you going to go out this week and invite to church next Sunday? Think about what I just asked you. Who are you going to invite to church next Sunday? Who's going to be sitting beside you next week? Because you're a sent one. Because the sent one has sent you. Is he worth it? Now listen, are you going to say this? God, I know it's my job description to go out and to tell others about you. Because here's what I would love. I would love next Sunday to give the invitation and you walk down the aisle with someone and you say, hey, I was having coffee with this dude or this dudette and I led them to Jesus. They want to make it public. That's what I wish would happen. That's my prayer. That's my vision for this church, is that we have people coming down the aisle nonstop because of our sent ones. Listen to this. Our sent ones. What's going on at Ridgecrest? What's this? What's going on at Ridgecrest? Oh, we can just sum it up in one word. Obedient. Hey, man, Pastor Chad, what in the world? How y'all baptizing all those people? How you getting all them people saved? Obedient. Yeah. They just flat believe the word. And man, they just go out and they're just being obedient. They're just being obedient. They're just being obedient. They're just being sent ones. There's no special formula. There's no special track you got to memorize. Just being sent. Just being sent. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you sanctified yourself. You set yourself apart. knowing the suffering that you would endure, knowing the separation that you would have, you embraced it. And according to Hebrews, you did it. You did it, God. And you thought you counted it joy. You looked at the cross with joy because you had sanctified yourself for us. For us. You died for us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've never been saved in here this morning, if Jesus Christ has never saved you, maybe in these last couple of weeks, man, God has been dealing with you. And maybe you know you should have been one of the ones who have come down forward and made public what you prayed in private. If you did that, the moment we say amen, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to go to one of the two men in the balcony. If you're upstairs or downstairs, we're going to be all across the front. You come to one of us and say, listen, I prayed with the pastor. I gave my life to Jesus. We want you to come and make public so that the sent one can come live inside of you so that you can be a sent one. Maybe you need to join this church. Whatever decision God is leading you to do, maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. What if you need to come identify with him in baptism? Heavenly Father, have your way. Jesus, we want to be obedient in your wonderful name. Amen. Look right up here at me in the balcony. If you need to pray and give your life to Jesus, you go to Frank standing right over there. On this side, you go to Rick standing right over there. Down front, we're going to be down front. If you need to come to one of us, you come on. The moment we stand, you come. As we stand, you come on right now.